morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. First live programme of 2021. Oliver Lee is my name, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group, into our 32nd year of broadcasting, I think, this year. So I hope you can stay with us for the next hour here on Planet FM on a Wednesday night in Auckland, Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday, and Cavity Coast Radio and Access Radio Wellington on Sunday night. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. And I wish I could, what do you call it, start the programme with good news, but there's very little good news coming out of Ireland over the last few days. But we go through all of that on the programme tonight. Obviously, COVID is at an all-time high. And today a report was published into the mother and baby's homes, and it makes grim reading. And one of the people interviewed on RTE today is a good friend of mine, Richard Mulligan, whose mum was taken from her family home out in Connemara just about a day or two before Richard was due to be born. And she was brought down to Ross Craig to the Sean Ross house. And Richard was born a day later, and his mum never met him for many, many years until Richard went to try to find her after his first son, Richard, also was born in the 80s. But Richard did meet his mum, unlike a lot of other people. And as well as being a great runner, not a bad farmer, and a good musician, Richard put an album together, and the title of it was I Never Met You. So we'll start the programme off with this song by Richard, and we'll finish with one at the end of the programme tonight that was played on the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE today when Richard was interviewed, called Forgiveness. So hope you can stay with us for the next hour. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland, and the weather is probably a bit warmer here in New Zealand than it is over in Ireland. But wherever you're listening, I hope you're happy and safe and well. Take it away, Richard.
Standing at your grave, looking at your headstone, a sadness fills my heart, I feel lost.
Richard Mulligan there, and a song called I Never Met You. And welcome along to the programme tonight. And Richard's song there is all about his mum. And Richard featured on a programme, you can hear it on the player on RTE today, where he was interviewed at length by Ray Darcy the day that a report, about 5,000 pages of a report, has taken 7 years to complete into the mother and baby homes. I'll just read you some of the headlines from the Irish Independent here. Well, Richard's story anyways. My mum held me for an hour at Sean Ross before I was taken away. Higher infant mortality rate, appalling conditions and emotional abuse. The mother and baby homes report at a glance. And I read some of this today, and it's a 2,865 page report of the Commission of Investigation into the Mother and Baby Homes. It's been published covering the period from 1922 to 1998, a span of 76 years. It says here, Ireland was especially cold and harsh for women during the earlier half of the period under the Commission's remit, and that all women suffered serious discrimination, the Commission said. Women who gave birth outside of marriage were subject to particularly harsh treatment. Responsibility for this, the report says, rests mainly with the fathers of their children, as well as their own immediate families. It adds, it was supported by and contributed to and condoned by the institutions of the state and the churches. So we had the highest number of unmarried mothers in the world during this period. The Commission states that there were about 56,000 unmarried mothers and about 57,000 children in mother and baby's homes. And county homes, the investigation said. The greatest number of admissions came in the 60s and 70s. And it also states that it is likely there were a further 25,000 unmarried mothers and a larger number of children in the homes it did not investigate. And the proportion of unmarried mothers admitted to homes in the 20th century was probably the highest in the world. So that's it. I'm not going to go in more detail on it. It's a tragic part of Irish history. The Taoiseach made a statement today, which obviously he was appalled by the findings, and tomorrow he'll make an official apology to the families. He said it's a dark, shameful chapter in Irish history, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says. And this comes on top of the terrible figures at the moment in Ireland for COVID. We've got the highest number of people with infections in the in the world. And the head of the WHO, Mike Ryan, says it's not due to the new variant. It's due to unbelievable socialising over Christmas holidays. So we went from having the lowest numbers in late November to the highest numbers yesterday. And today, sadly, 46 people died today, and there was 3,086 new cases. Very hard for us in New Zealand to comprehend this when we think that we've had a total of about 1,800 cases and about 24 deaths. So, but yet the New Zealand government knows that this new variant, could come in at any moment in time. We'll go into a bit more information on that and what happened in Ireland over the course of the programme. What you're listening to is Ireland Calling. Well, on Saturday last, the Irish community gathered in Auckland along with the McGeever family to pay their final respects to Michael Francis McGeever. And Frank, as we all knew him in the Irish community, Frank passed away suddenly on the 5th of January. And he's obviously mourned by his wife, Jo. Frank was from Meelik in Swinford, and Jo was from the same area as well. And their three surviving daughters, Mary, Erin and Claire. Sharon, their 22-year-old daughter, predeceased Frank, and no doubt Frank and Sharon are reunited again up above. Sharon was tragically killed back, I think about 86. But it was great to see a fantastic farewell for Frank at the church in Epsom last Saturday, and a very well respected and figure within the Irish community and the golfing community at Akarana as well. So I enjoyed meeting Frank and Joe down through the years. And in fact, the last time I was with Frank, we were at the funeral mass for John Griffin. We were parked beside each other and we said we hopefully won't meet again at a funeral. And little did we know that the next time we'd meet, or the next time that I had a link with Francis, was at his funeral last week. So we're going to play a few songs in his memory tonight. And this is going out to Joe, Mary, Aaron, Claire, and all the connections. I know this programme will be shared with your family and friends over in the west of Ireland as well. So we'll have Take Me Home to Mayo, followed by The Fields of Athenrye. And then I met quite a few people at the funeral, regular listeners to Ireland Calling, and we've got a few songs for them coming up on the programme tonight. But first up, Dublin City Ramblers, the Take Me Home to Mayo, followed by The Fields of Athenrye.
Birds fly. lonely round the fields of battle. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebel, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity.
Paddy gets a lot of airtime on this programme. Paddy Riley there in the fields of Athenry, and before that, Dublin City Ramblers and Take Me Home to Mayo. And those two songs go out in memory of Frank McGeever, regular listener to Ireland Calling, who was laid to rest last Saturday here in Auckland. And again, our condolences and the condolences of the Irish community in New Zealand and indeed in the west of Ireland to Frank's wife Jo and Mary, Aaron and Claire and all their grandchildren. So a great farewell. Pat Tiffany, who's on the move to from St. Patrick's Cathedral out to Avondale, was the chief celebrant last Saturday. A lovely farewell to a great man. So, and up next, we're going to have Mary Black, a specially requested song, singing Sunny. This goes out to other regular listeners to the programme. And the programme, you're listening to Ireland Calling, which is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. You're listening to us on a Wednesday night in Auckland on Planet FM in Auckland, Saturday night on Plains FM in Christchurch, Sunday afternoon on Tapiti Coast in the Wellington region, and Wellington Access Radio on Saturday, Sunday night. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed other parts of the world as well. I'm just, as I was doing and recording this programme, as I do on a Wednesday afternoon, and the news just for our listeners in Ireland, we have seven new cases of COVID in New Zealand, all at the border. So I see the Irish government have come out today and said that everybody's going to have a negative test now before they're allowed to fly into Ireland. Some may say this is all happening too late, because the obviously the travel arrangements there during the summer, you know, people came in and were asked to self-isolate. Many did, but many didn't. And I know that the lead up to Christmas, people weren't allowed to fly directly into Dublin from London, but Belfast Airport was open, so people flew up there. People weren't supposed to gather in big numbers in houses or in pubs, but they did. And everybody thought, oh, well, we might get over this year. It'll be one or we'll put up with it. And but the numbers went spiralling out of control over the last few days, and there's still a possibility that the Irish hospitals may not be able to cope with the surge in expected admissions. At the moment, I think there's about 1,500 people in hospital, and there's over 144 in intensive care. So tough times there. But anyway, the other big story that's dominating the news in Ireland over the last 12 hours is the report published into the mother and baby's homes. And one woman that probably had a lot to do with this report taking place in the first place was historian Catherine Carless from just outside Tuam, Bronsgrove, Cartoon, I think Catherine is from. And she discovered that there was a mother and baby home in Tuam, run by the Bonsecure sisters, that there was upwards of 600 or 700 you know, remains of babies buried there, not in a proper burial, not in a cemetery, but in a sewage type tank. And these babies' bodies have to be exhumed. The government have said that they will certainly get on and do this, but she says that the report today just includes a lot of political lingo, because as I mentioned at the start, the government, or the report, says that, you know, the fathers, the men who fathered these children, were to blame, as were the families, as well as the state and institutions. But it seems that Catherine says an apology needs to come from the religious orders, and also from Rome, because she thinks most of the damage was done to these young people when they were left in these homes. The mothers were forced to work in laundries while they were still there. Their babies were in another part of the complexes. They weren't able to see them, as was the case with Richard Mulligan, who we talked about at the start of the programme, with his mum. And obviously, you know, this has to be redress, and compensation will have to be discussed as well for the survivors. But a dark chapter in Irish history, that's what it is. And let's hope that the people, the victims, and their survivors of these mother and child homes are compensated and apologised, and a memorial erected to the 9,000 infants that died and that were buried in unmarked graves, some of them not even in proper cemeteries, over this dark period in Irish life. As I said, met quite a few people at Frank's funeral the other day. Mary Carroll and Diane Burke, Mary's late husband Larry and Diane's late husband Tony, were regular listeners to the programme. And I know, Diane, you're living down in Cambridge. You're hopefully picking up the programme, but Mary listens in regularly. And the song that you said you'd like to hear is Mary Black singing Sunny. So here it is.
Yeah.
Lovely song there, Sonny, featuring Emmy Lou Harris and Dolores Keane. And that's a special request going out to Mary Carroll and her good friend Diane Burke, who will hopefully be picking this programme up. And as I said, Mary's late husband, along with herself, regular listeners, Larry, to the programme, as well as Diane's late husband, Tony. So wherever you're listening tonight, around the New Zealand, or around the world, I hope you're enjoying the programme Ireland Calling, which is brought to you, as it is each week, with the support of the Hugh Green Group. We've half the programme over, so we'll have plenty more music before the end of the show and more news. I suppose I haven't been on air for 2 weeks. The last two programmes have been pre-recorded, and I'm sure many of you like the music with less chat from me, so that's a win-win situation for everybody there. But we kept the show on the road thanks to the team at Planet FM here in Auckland. So of course Ireland had planned to, you know, opened up at the beginning of December, and shops were open, restaurants were open, pubs that could serve food were opened, and the plan was to close again on the 3rd of January, because the government knew that the lifting of the restrictions were going to probably lead to an increase in numbers. But of course they were taken aback by the huge increase in numbers leading up to Christmas. So on the I think it was about the 30th of December, the Taoiseach went on air to make an announcement that on the eve of the 30th, the 31st, the country went into a level 5 lockdown. But they were going to keep the schools open, and schools were going to open a few days later on the 11th, secondary schools. And then it was decided that the schools weren't going to open, only for Leaving Cert students 3 days a week, but that didn't work either. So the whole the country at the moment is in a full lockdown, similar to what we experienced here in New Zealand back in March, and this is planned to continue until at least the end of January. But expectations are that it may last longer than that. The viruses are being rolled out at the moment, but certainly not as quick as people want them to be. But at the moment, the hospitals are almost at full capacity, and the government has done a deal with the private hospitals to take over some of them so that they can use them. They weren't took them over in March, they weren't used, but there's a possibility that they will be need to be taken, and there could be upwards of 100 deaths a day from next week, according to some reports. So obviously people, some people are adhering strictly to the guidelines and other people aren't, which is a worrying situation. But at the moment, Ireland had the biggest number of COVID cases per head of population in the world yesterday. Thankfully, today that dropped down, and the latest figures today show a slight drop. So hopefully this will continue over the next a few days. I see here one Simpsons Hospital in Dundrum has suffered one of the worst outbreaks of the third lockdown, with 15 lives at this nursing home lost in the last few days. Of course, the other stories that is dominating news, not alone in Ireland but all over the world, is Trump and all the stuff that's going on there. There was even a rumour that he might be flying into Doonbeg and Clare because he mightn't be welcome in Scotland, and I'm not sure he wants to be in America for the inauguration next week, but he certainly won't be allowed into Ireland. Only people allowed into Ireland now are on specific business, and so wherever he's going, he won't be coming to Ireland. Righto, I want to play a song here for Jeff and Jenny Dixon. They're regular listeners. They're good friends of Ian Selwyn, who's a good friend of mine, and I know you listen regularly to the programme. So we'll play a song here, The Flight of Earls by Bagatelle. And we'll play this in memory of Liam Riley from Bagatelle, who passed away last week in his early 70s. So Flight of Earls from Bagatelle for Jeff and Jenny.
Of Dublin in this lonely waiting room, and all the paper boys are singing in the rain. Not too long before they take us to the airport and the noise, to get on board a transatlantic plane. We got no to stay for, we have no more left to stay. say, and there isn't any work for us to do. So farewell, you boys and girls, another bloody flight out for us. Our best asset is our best export too. It's not murder, fear or famine that makes us leave this time. We're not going to join McAlpine Fusiliers. We got dreams and we have vision. We've got education too. And we just can't throw away these precious years. So we walk the streets of London and the streets of Baltimore, and we meet at night in several Boston bars. We're the leaders of the future, but we're far away from home, and we dream of you beneath the Irish stars.
That was the late Liam Riley and Bagatelle there. And Liam wasn't 75, he was only 65. He died suddenly on the 1st of January. A great songwriter and singer, and he represented Ireland in the Eurovision as well, and wrote a few songs. So that song called Flight of Earls, a request going out for Jeff and Jenny Dixon. who are regular listeners to Ireland Calling. And that request comes from your good friend Ian Selwyn. So I hope you're enjoying the programme tonight. The programme is called Ireland Calling. It's brought to you. It's a support of the Hugh Green Group. And my name is Oliver Lee. And we'll run through some of the sports news and let you know what's happening. Well, there's certainly rugby is happening at the moment. But for how long more, we'll just have to wait and see. Because France have said they will close their borders to rugby teams coming into play there, so that's putting the Six Nations in jeopardy. And the other tour that's probably going to be called off, I'd say, within the next month is the Lions tour to South Africa, of course coached by former Waikato player Warren Gatland. And but this would be a huge tour, there'd be huge interest. And obviously drawing the series against New Zealand 3-4 years ago, so there was a lot of Lions fans from, of course, Ireland, but indeed the home nations as well would have been heading to South Africa. So that's up in the air at the moment. And the French government, I see now here today, they've given the green light for the Six Nations opener, but doubts remain of other teams coming to Ireland. So obviously the Pro 14 matches have been taking place, but I see the Munster-Leinster match, which was due to take place on Boxing Day or New Year's Day, has been rearranged to the 23rd of January. Connacht last Saturday week had a first win in Dublin in, God, nearly, I think, 22 years. They beat Leinster and beat them well. And they just failed to beat Munster at the sports ground in Galway last week, losing by 6 points. And But they're still nicely positioned for you know, progress in the Pro 14 tournament. I see a number of GAA officials sneaked into the All-Ireland final undercover. You know, there were each team, Dublin, Mayo, were allowed a specific number of passes for people to go in, but three members of the management team, three extra members sneaked in, but CCTV footage, you know, pointed this out, or it was somebody looked at it and spotted it, so they've been given a 3 months suspension and no further sanctions for Mayo GAA after the suspension of these three players. What else is here? Jack Canning to join his uncle Joe in Galway senior hurling squad as Shane O'Neill shuffles the tribe deck. Rob Kearney reveals hotel room training regime as he meets his Western Force teammates for the first time. He's gone to Perth to play in the Super Rugby Australia competition. And of course, Super Rugby New Zealand kicks off here at the end of February. And if the borders are open between New Zealand and Australia, there'll be playoffs between the New Zealand teams and the Australian teams. So what else I see here? More upheaval for Stephen Kenny as goalkeeping coach Alan Kenny decides to leave the Ireland setup, you know, for the forthcoming World Cup campaign. And I think he's part of the reason that he's said he's leaving is because of the dangers of COVID. So that's the sport, or lack of it, that's taken place in Ireland at the moment. Right, we'll take another song here, and let's go with a couple of reels here and see what you think of these. Or is it tin? Thank you. That's Mauro O'Keefe there with a couple of reels. Ben Hill, Spellin's Fiddle and Callahan's. And I want to tag that on to the earlier request I played to the memory of Frank McGeever, because Frank was a handyman on the fiddle. So hopefully the McGeever family are still enjoying the programme and you enjoyed that piece of music and the music you're listening to Ireland Calling. I'll just run through some of the other headlines from yesterday's papers. I get them downloaded to an iPad here. It's heating up at the moment, and we'll just run through some of them, the headlines that came out yesterday. This is the Irish Independent had a, what do you call it, on Tuesday. Its headline was, we get it here, 6 month wait for jab on the table if you've had COVID. And then a big picture here of, what do you call it, a man who, a survivor, Peter Mulryan, from the Tuam Mother and Babies Home in Tuam. The Farming Independent did a big feature, 6-7 pages, about people from these homes that were sent out to work and farm. Some actually, you know, were treated well, but some others were treated not so well. And this was in the 50s and 60s. The Irish Examiner yesterday led with the story, ration ICU care for those with best chance. That's, you hear some of the doctors, you know, are coming out and saying they're going to be faced with a choice. They put the person into ICU that they think has the best chance of surviving. And that was in the Cork Examiner yesterday. Cork to renovate old Cork Airport terminal as a new hub. And we see yesterday's Tuesday's Irish Times headline had, this is a very good story. There's an ex-pilot here called Mike Mahon from Lara in County Wicklow. And he's pictured with his dog, Millie. Now, his pension has been halted twice as they assumed he was dead. But anyway, he's alive and well. And I know he was interviewed on RTE yesterday, just to confirm. So he was the retired pilot. Had his state pension stopped for 5 months and subsequently removed from his bank account because civil servants wrongly assumed he had died. But anyway, the ministry said this is what do you call it, a very rare occurrence. Health staff set to be redeployed at hospitals face a surge. The Taoiseach to brief mother and babies, home survivors. He did that by a webinar today. But as Catherine Carla said there, there was too much talk and not enough action. She's waiting to see what action the government are, what do you call it, going to do. And finally, the Farm and Independent, farmers are sitting ducks for COVID-19, warns medic. And again, that feature, six-page feature, as the Mother and Baby Homes report is published this week, we tell the harrowing stories of survivors who were boarded out to farms from church-run institutions in the 50s and 60s. And as promised, I'm going to play another song here from Richard Mulligan. This featured on his interview on the Ray D'Arcy programme today, and it's called Forgiveness. So...
And if you do, all fine. You'll be free to go, but you must go alone. These papers she would never sign.
Richard Mulligan there, and a song called Forgiven, and when he was interviewed on the Ray Darcy show today, he was asked what the song was meant to be and who is he forgiven, but he's basically saying, you know, everybody, he's forgiven everybody involved with the whole mother and baby's home saga. But Richard was fostered and lived in Kilcairn, Carton Tubber, with his eventually then he was filled out, formally adopted along with his brother John, and we went to school together. And John, greetings to John listening in London. And Richard has a connection with New Zealand as well. Richard went on and got a scholarship to Providence, Rhode Island, after he left school, and became an international runner, represented Ireland in cross-country competitions and also in 5 and 10,000 metres. And he raced against the great John Walker on a number of occasions, and knew John very, very well. So let's hope that, as Richard calls for their forgiveness for all the people that have been involved in this sad episode in Ireland. So I'll leave you with a bit of traditional music before the end of the programme. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll be back here again next week. It's hard down in New Zealand to get back into the swing of things. Half the country still on holidays, like you would be back in Ireland in the first 2 weeks in August. But everybody back here will be back next week. So I'll leave you with a couple of reels. Thanks again for tuning in, and thanks again to the Hugh Green Group for their continued support of the programme.